Welcome to Gemara Marking. Today's shiur is Tumid Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the last two lines of Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. Before we begin the Gemara, we want to take note of the topic and the structure that we will soon be encountering. You will notice the topic heading in the outside margin reads. We should also note there you'll see a triangle featured in the Gemara, and there's quite a series of triangles that extends down Lamed Beis, Omid Aleph as well. They are Asora Dvorim, 10 topics or matters, Sheshol Alexandrus Mokdon es Zikne HaNegev. Alexandrus Mokdon might be referred to as Alexander the Macedonian. Raised 10 points or 10 questions that he directed to the Ziknei HaNegev, the elders, the Jewish scholars of the Negev of the South. The Rush comments that the reason this is brought here is because we had just mentioned at the end of our previous shiur, the last discussion in the Gemara before this involved the positioning of the slaughter of the daily sacrifices, the Tomid Shel Shachar and the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, opposite the sun, opposite the point at which the sun shines. So with that in mind, you'll see that the first of these points deals with the sun, or we'll say with the heavens. Asora Dvorim, the Gemara says, Shal Alexandrus Mokdon is Ziknei HaNegev. There were 10 points that Alexandrus Mokdon raised to the sages of the south. Omar Lohen, Alexander said to them, now we continue at Lamed Beis Omid Aleph, he asked, Min HaShemayim L'Oretz Rochok, is it a greater distance from the heaven to the ground? Oy Mimizroch L'Marov, or from east to west. We should have mentioned at the introduction of this section of Gemara that we are going to encounter things that are most likely of a much more profound and deep nature, much way beyond that which meets the eye, or that which we will delve into as we are presenting the Gemara on a simplistic translation level, because the issue of analysis of what the deeper reference of these matters are is beyond the purview of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shiurim. However, it behooves everyone who is listening to at least be aware that the matters discussed here go beyond that which appears on the very superficial level that we will be learning. So he asked, is the distance between the heaven and the earth greater, or the distance between east and west, from one end of the world or of the universe to the other? Omru lo, they answered him, Mi Mizrach Lemarov. There is a greater distance from east to west than from above to below. Teda, and to prove this, you should know, Sharei Chamo b'Mizrach Hakol Mistaklin Bo, the sun in the morning hours, as it rises, everyone can look at it. It doesn't hurt the eyes. It doesn't hurt the eyes in the immediate straining sense. We're not talking on a medical level and the issue of ultraviolet rays and how they affect one's eyes, but it's more, with greater ease, one can look at the sun in the morning, chamo b'marav, and likewise when the sun is before setting in the west, hakol mistaklin bo, everyone can look upon it. Chamo b'emtzo rakia, however, at high noon, when the sun is overhead, Ein hakol mistaklim bo. There, the intensity of it is of the sun sunlight is greater, and people have a much harder time looking at it. What does this show you? It must be that it's much closer at that point. V'chachomim omrim, the chachomim say, as opposed to what these sages were answering Alexander, our chachomim say, ze v'ze ke'echod shovin. They were both, both directions from ground to overhead and east to west are the same. Shenemar, the pasuk says, kigvoa shemayim al oretz, kirchok mizroch mimarov. The complete pasuk in Tehillim, Perikuf Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph, reads, kichvoa shemayim al oretz, Govar Chazdo al Yireyov, and Pasuk Yudvei says Kirchok Mizrach Mimarov Hirchik Mimenu Es Pshoenu. So the first Pasuk Yud Aleph, says as the heavens are far from the earth, so too the Almighty's kindness is upon those that fear Him. In other words, an expression of great amount of kindness. And as the east is far from the west, He, the Almighty, distances our sins. Well, the Gemara continues, V'ichad minayu nofish, if one of these two directions, heavens to earth or east to west, is greater than the other, lo nichtov travayu, then in the pasuk, which is trying to emphasize how far the Almighty goes, how far He goes in bestowing His kindness, how far He goes in distancing our sins, then a reference to both directions should not have been made. Elohahu denofish, only the one that's greater, because the spirit, the gist of this pasuk is to show us an extreme greatness, an extreme distance, how far the Almighty goes. So then state only the greater distance. So the fact that the pasuk, which describes two aspects of the Almighty's kindness to us, both in the positive and the distancing of the negative, since both directions are mentioned, or both distances are mentioned, it must be that they are both of an equal amount. And as such, the Almighty is showing His extreme kindness in both directions. Well, if now, as we've shown from the pasuk, that they really are equal, if that be the case, then why, when the sun is immediately overhead, we can't gaze upon it because of the seeming intensity, as opposed to when it's on closer to the horizon, whether both east and west, and we are able to gaze upon it. So the Gemara answers, the reason for that is Mishum Dekoi Lehedya Velo Kosi Le Midi. When the sun is overhead, there is nothing blocking it, nothing interfering with the intensity. Hence, you get the full intensity. When the sun is to the position near the horizon, so you have mountains and buildings and other things that diminish the intensity, but nothing to do with distance, as was previously thought. Omar Lahen. Alexander asks another question. Shomayim nivru tchila o haretz? Were the heavens created first or the land? Amru, they answered, Shomayim nivru tchila. The heavens were created first. Shnema breishis bara lukim es ha-shomayim ves haretz. In the pasuk, which features the act of creation, Shomayim precedes haretz. So Shomayim must have been created first. Omar Lohen, he asked then, or Nivra Tchila O Choshech, was light created first or darkness? Omru Lo, the sages said, the Ziknei Hanegev said, Milsa Da Ein Lo Psar. This matter has no solution. Gemara asks, what kind of response is that? V'neim rulei, they should have told him, choshech nivra tchila, darkness was created first, dechtiv v'haretz hoysa soyu vavo v'choshech v'hogar, and then it says, v'yomer lekim yehi or, v'hi or. Just like in the previous question regarding Shemayim and Oretz, they cited the verses regarding the acts of creation demonstrating, proving that Shemayim was first, use the same approach here, citing the psukim from the act of creation, wherein you see Choshech, it precedes Or. So the Gemara answers what their consideration was in responding to him. Savri, the sages figured that if he is now asking about light and darkness, Dilma Osi Lishuli, that he might continue asking, he might ask now about Mala Mala, Umala Mato, Malifnim, Umala Ohor. These are questions that are beyond realm of human capacity. What they refer to is what was before creation, what exists after the end of time, what is on the inside, what is on the outside of the universe. Those are areas that the Gemara tells us, that our sages tell us, don't delve into those things. They were afraid that the next question that Alexander would ask would be getting into that realm, which we are not to engage in. Therefore, they stopped him at the gate, so to speak. They stopped him at a point that, in truth, they could have answered his question regarding light and dark. However, they figured, let's tell him that this has no solution, and he would realize then that asking any further questions on the topic, he would get a similar response. So he would therefore not delve into these other more profound or deeper matters that we should not engage in. Well, the Gemara asks, if that be the case, Ihochi Shomayim Nami Lo Nemru Le. Well, then they shouldn't have answered his question regarding which was created first, heaven or earth. If you see that they feared his delving into these other areas, we'll call them the forbidden areas, so why did they even answer his first question? Answer, Meikara Savur Akroi Bi'amuhu Dekoshayo. At the outset, when he asked the question about creation, which was first, heaven or earth, they thought it was a type of random question that was not part of a scheme of questions delving deeper and deeper into the matters of creation. However, came the Chazu de Kahadu Shoyel, when they then saw that he continued asking about the light and dark, Savri, they figured, the Rabbonan figured, Lo Nemo Le, let's not answer him, Dilma Osi Lishile Malamala Malamata Malafni Malachor. Because if we answer him on the issue of light and dark, he'll then come to ask about the issue of what's beyond, whether it be time or place. Another question. Omar Lahem, Eidein Miskuri Chochem. Who is called a wise man? Omru Le, Eizeu Chochem Haroya Esanola. They answered him from what we call this as a source of Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers, the answer of who is a wise man, he who can see into the future. And what that means, he can see, we'll see results from existing phenomena, and he can anticipate future results. Omar Lohem, Eidein Miskuri Gibor, who is called a strong person, a Gibor, someone possessing strength. Omru Lo, they answered, Ezu Gibor, who is a strong man, HaKovesh Es Yitzur, he was able to subdue his natural inclinations. Omar Lahem, Adain Miskri Oshir, who is referred to as a wealthy individual. Omru Lay, they answered, Ezu Oshir Hasomeach Bechelko, who is a man of wealth, he who is happy with his lot, with whatever portion he has received, he feels no desire for any further increase. He is happy with what he has. That is a person who's considered a man of wealth. Omar Lahem, Ma Yavid Inish Vihye, what should a person do in order to ensure his longevity? Omru Le, they answered, Yomis Atzmo. Yomis Es Atzmo. One approach to this is he should conduct himself with humility. Literally, Yomis is to kill himself, but according to the Meforesh Pshat, it means to conduct oneself in humility. The Rosh addresses this, and you'll notice the Rosh commentary in the outside margin, we've underlined the Dibur HaMasvil, where he says, Yomis Es Atzmo, Yitrach B'Malocha. The Rosh's approach is that a person, in order to live, should engage in activity, in work, in productive activity, kedei laharviach mizernosov, in order to earn his keep. The lo yomar, and a person should not say, ein melocha zu hogenes lo, oh well, this kind of job isn't fit for me. In other words, a person should not avoid doing different kinds of tasks, of accepting jobs on the grounds that it's beneath his dignity or not for him, and as a result of avoiding all kinds of different tasks on these grounds, he'll end up doing nothing. V'gam lo yimshoch es besor achar tanugim. Furthermore, yomis es atzmo means he should not pursue all kinds of pleasures, be in physical pleasures. V'gam yitztair es besoro lilmoy Torah. And also a person should put himself to strain himself for the sake of Torah learning. With all of these in mind, with that, he will guarantee his longevity in this world and in the world to come. We continue in the Gemara. Ma yavid inish v'yomus. What if a person would do, what is it that if he were to do it, he would yomus, literally die? So the answer to that is Yichaye es atzmo. So according to the Meforesh Pshat, would be to conduct himself in haughtiness. According to the Rosh's approach, he simply says, well, anything that is the opposite of what he just commented would be something that if he were to, he would yomus, he would die. So if we understood what the Rosh said regarding Yichyeh, just take the opposite of that, and that would lead to Yomus. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Lohen, Ma Yavid Inish, V'yiskabe al Baraisa. What should a person do and as a result be accepted amongst people? Baraisa, literally, the creatures, amongst the population, the humanity, the community, what kind of conduct should a person follow in order to be appreciated by those around him? Omru, so the Rabbanan answered, Yasni Malku Vishilton. Yasnu literally is hate, but we can explain distance himself from the monarchy and from the governmental leadership forces. Maintain a distance from the authorities. The Rush comments on this, and he has a few points of commentary that are applicable over here. Before we look into the analysis or the explanation of this, let's just read another line or two of Gemara, and then come back to the Rosh and his explanation. Upon hearing what they answered, now we're talking about Alexander Macedonian, who was the leader of the Greek Empire. They hear the Rabbanan say that if a person wants to be successful amongst his peers, he should hate the government, stay away from them. And here you're talking to the government himself. So Omar Lahu, Alexander, said back to them, Didi tava miditchu, my idea on this matter of what should a person do in order to be accepted amongst his peers, amongst the population, my idea on this is better than your idea. And he says, Yirachim Malchu Vishilton, you should Yirachim has to do with becoming fond of, develop an affinity for, a bond between yourself and the government. V'yavid tivuim b'nei insha, and as a result of your closeness with the government, you will then be able to benefit those around you, your friends, the community, and the population. Before going any further in the Gemara, as we said, let's now look at the Rosh, and as we learn the Rosh, we'll also take note of the fact that he has two versions, or two points, or two different approaches to these issues. So now turning to the Rosh, where we have it's underlined, and a Roman numeral 1 in the lower part of the outside margin. So he says, Yisna Malchu v'shilton. This was the Rabbanan's response. What should a person do in order to find favor in the eyes of his friends? Klomar, Yisrachik min haroshus, stay away from the government. Pen yalilu olav, o yachshidu b'nei odom, shem malshin u'moysir mamonam. Because if a person keeps close to the government, his friends can become suspicious that he is serving as a talebearer, squealing on his friends, telling the government about what they are doing, and might eventually moser mamonin and arrange for their properties to be taken over by governmental forces. So keep a distance from the government, and people won't suspect that you are trying to deal them in a hard deal. Then we saw that Alexander responded and said the opposite. Yirachei malchu v'shilton, yiskarev lahem. My recommendation, says Alexander, is that a person should become close to the government. I mean, close to me. V'rogil imam, be always with the governmental forces. V'yase toive le'olam, and by his closeness with governmental forces, he will be able to do good to his community. Al yedei shi'alitz ba'adom el ha'melech. Oel Sar Hatzava, being that he has a close bond with the government officials, he'll be able to get favors from the government on behalf of his friends, and to get positive treatment from the armed forces on behalf of his community. Lishno Achrina, another approach. Yisno Machu v'Shulton. This is what the Rabbanan had said to Alexander, that a person should hate the government. What does that mean? Yivrach min hasrora v'yeonav. A person should run away from positions of authority. If a person is offered a position, he should avoid taking positions of authority. V'yeonav u'shval ruach. Conduct oneself in humility. V'oz ye mekuba abrios. And through that, people will like him. A person who conducts himself in avoiding honor and public positions, and conducts himself in a humble fashion, that is something that the people will like. Then we saw that Alexander said back to them, Yirachei malchu v'shilton, alei l'gdula. Actually, he says, you should pursue high office, pursuing politics. Yaseh toivo im b'nei odom, she'oseh toivo she'oseh b'nei odom, she'as gdula hi toivo shleima. A person who, let us say, achieves high office, and in this position of authority, he then does favors for his community. That's considered a favor without strings attached. Beli chanfus, he doesn't have to in his doing favors to his community after achieving a position of authority and high office. He is able to do favors to his cohorts and to those surrounding him, to his community, without it appearing as an act of flattery, of trying to get into someone's good graces. Ki ein tzorach lahem. He's already in a position of high authority. He doesn't need other people. He's already there. So if he's already doing favors, those are favors that are of a wholesome, no strings attached nature. V'gam yesh le'el yodoi la'sois toivo lo'olam kisha'olam. Furthermore, when a person achieves a position of authority, it's within his power to actually do acts of kindness to his community, so that and that will cause him to become ingraced to those around him. After all, they see him doing them so much good. We now continue in the Gemara. After the last point we read was Alexander's response to them, he says that my idea was better. As a result of being in the good graces or achieving positions of authority, he will be able to do favors for those around him. Omar Lohen, Alexander asks the Rabbonon, the Ziknei Negev, Biyoma Yoi Lemeidar O Biyabeshto Yoi Lemeidar, is it better to live at sea or to live on the land? Omru Lei, so they answered, Biyabeshto Yoi Lemeidar, it's better to be a land dweller. Dalkol Nechusi Yoma, all those that are sailors and seafarers, Lo Mesva Dateun Ad Salkin Yabeshto, they don't have peace of mind. Mesva Dateun has to do with peace of mind until they reach dry land. Omar Lohen, Eidein Minchon Chochim Yosir. So he asks the sages in front of him, which one of you is the greatest of your group? Omru Lo Kulono Kechado Shavinon. We are all of equal greatness. Tokomilsa de Armis Lona Bechad Pasarno Loch. As you can see that every question you raise, we all give the same answer. Omar Lohen, Ma Dein Asrisin Lekabli. Well, let us take a look at the Rosh for this. Toward the end of the Rosh commentary, Alexander is asking them, Ma Asrisin Lekablon, Umaze Atem Matsrisin Kinegdi, Vein Atem Mitchaninin Bo, Vlo Ochlin Vishoisin Imanu, Vatem Royim Shalonu Hagadulava Memshala. He's asking them, why is it that, without giving a literal translation, but he says, why is it that you seem to look, you're not impressed with us, you're almost looking down upon us. After all, we are the government, we are the ones in control, and yet you're acting as if you're on the top. Omru le, sitna notzach. To explain this line, we look at the Meforesh in the outside column of commentary in the upper part of the page. We've underlined Omru Le Sitna Notzach Zu Eino Raya. The fact that you are on top and appear to be in control is no proof that you are really greater and that we should humble ourselves to you. Sharei Atem Royim B'chol Yoyim. You see every day Shasotan Hu Notzach Hu Mate B'nei Adam, that the Satan, in English referred to the Satan or the force of evil inclination, that he actually runs the show, so to speak, that he is able to convince people of things that are not correct and to in fact pursue them. Afatem al titmahu al shonu tachtechem. So too, don't be surprised that we appear to be under you, because that's all a function of the power that you've received through forces that are, we'll say, not the forces of good. Let us take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom on this. And Rabbeinu Gershom appears in the outside, on the inside margin. We've underlined toward the lower half of his commentary. He says, Omru le sitna notzach klomar, al titame al ze, don't be amazed at this, namely that we appear to be lowly and you are those that are on top. Shasotan hu notzeach shemase oisom v'noisem geula ulebesof yoridom legehenem. The Satan is the force, we'll call it the force of evil, is that which empowers you, and eventually you and your like will fall. Omar Lohen, the Alexander, upon hearing this non-subdued response, he then says to them, he says, Maktilno yaschon begzeres malkin, as I could kill you through a royal decree. And this seems to be a reference to the idea of of heaven forbid, wiping out the Jewish people. After all, he was in control of the civilized world, and he could just issue a royal decree, and wherever Jews would be, they would be eliminated. So, like, aren't you afraid of me? Omru lei. So they, the Rabbanan, responded, Shaltan biad Malka, veloyoi lemalka kozov. Shaltan is the power of control, is in the hands of the king, referring to him, Alexander. And it's not fit, veloyoi means it's not fit for a king to lie. Now, here the main thing is not in the words, but apparently, and this we see in the commentaries, he had guaranteed their security, that he would not hurt them. So that apparently in approaching them for this discussion or quasi-debate, he apparently had said, listen, let's have a discussion and no harm will befall you. So once they heard his promise to them, they felt that they could tell it like it is, and that now upon hearing this threat, they were able to say, but hey, you know, you gave us a promise of security, and if you're going to hurt us, that won't look good for you. And therefore, you're certainly not going to carry out such a threat. Miad albish yason levushin de argivon vishaniu manaicha de davo al tzavareon. He was so impressed with our scholars that he immediately gave them royal-type clothing to wear and gave them manicha de davo is a type of golden chain around their necks, al tzavareon around their necks, showing his not only his gratitude but his honor and respect that he had for our sages. Something worth bearing in mind as we who are learning the words of our sages, we have to sometimes we don't have a sufficient level of appreciation of who our sages were. Here you're dealing with the with one of the greatest powers that have been known in the, to the history of man, the great Greek kingdom under the authority of Alexander the Macedonian, who had conquered so much of the civilized world. And here you see the man who sat on top, so to speak, showing his honor and appreciation and awe of, if you will, of our sages, our leaders. And this should serve to increase a sense of respect and pride. That's the key word here, and pride that we have for our Torah and its sages. Well, continuing in the Gemara, Omar Lahen, Alexander now addresses the our sages and says, "Bo'ino de'ezo l'medinas Afriki, I want to go to Africa." Omru le lo motzis aslis, you won't be successful in trying to conquer Africa. The paski hore choshech, on the way to Africa, on the way to where the your destination, there are literally the mountains of darkness. And it seems to be on a literal level, but of course, as we said before, there's much greater depth to what we are learning right now. But on a literal level, there is intense darkness, and you won't be able to cross that area. Omar Lohen, so Alexander, who was very single-minded, he says to them, I have to go there. I can't not go there. Lo sagya de lo azlina. As we just said, I have to go. Am tu hochi mishailina luchu. Therefore, I am asking you about going there. Elo my avid. What should I do? In other words, he seems to be saying here that I realize that such a trip is almost impossible, as you are saying, but I have to go. And therefore, I'm asking you what advice, what counsel can you give me? Omrule, so they said, the sages responded, Aisi Chamri Luvoi, bring as your means of travel, Chamri are donkeys, Luvoi is a type of donkey, Luvoi donkeys, De Parshi Bahavra, they are able to travel in darkness. They have a sense of direction and are able to deal with darkness. And furthermore, if the icy kiburi demasni bring balls of rope, the kotar bahai gisa, and tie the rope along the sides of the road, dechi asis, and when you come back, naktis begavayu the asis lasrof, you'll be able to hold these ropes that you laid out as you were going, and be able to return by holding on to these ropes, return to your point of origin. Avan hochi v'asal, he did that and he went on his way. Motolahu machoiza, he got to a certain area, the kulanoshi, that was occupied by women, a whole area, a county, a region that was full of women, a large female population. Boy lemevad krova badayu, he wanted to war with them. Omrule, so the women said to him, ikat lislan, if you kill us off, yomru, people will say, noshi kotel, here he's a lady killer. And that's something that is not honorable. I katil no loch, and if we defeat you, yomru, then people will say, malko de katlu noshi, here's the king, here's the leader that was defeated by women. Omar Lohen, so upon hearing that, he realized he's up against a big problem. He says to them, Aisu li namo, bring to me some bread. We're hungry, we want to eat. Aisu le namo de davo, they brought to him, namo's bread, de davo, golden bread, apsoro de davo, on golden tables. We continue now at the top of Amid Beis. Omar Lahu, Alexander asks the women, Mi achli inish namo de davo? Do people eat golden bread? We're hungry, you don't eat gold. Omru le, so they said to him, Elo I nama bois, if all you want is bread, lo have loch ba'asroch namo lemechal, did you not have any bread where you came from? The shaklis, the osis locha, you had to come all the way here to eat bread. Kinofik, when he left the osi and went on his way, kosav abovo the mechuzah, he etched out on the gates of that area the following three lines we have in quotation marks. Ano Alexandrus Mokdon, I, Alexander the Macedonian, Havisi Shatya, I was a fool, Ad Asisi Limedinas Afriki Dinashi, until I came to this this land of African women, the Alifus Eitzah Min Neshaya, and I gained counsel from their wise words of these women. As we mentioned before a few times, and we mention it again, we're dealing with topics that need much further elucidation than that which we are providing in the context of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiur, but we must go on. Our hope is that we've aroused a little curiosity and that everyone will research these issues further. Kishokil V'osi, as he was departing, Yosef Ahu Mayona, he was seated by a spring, Ka'ochil Namo, and he was eating bread. Havu Biode Guldeni de Malcha, he had Guldeni are fish, de Malcha that were salted, he had some salted fish. Bahadi de Machri Lahu, as he was rinsing them off to remove the salt, was a preservative for long journeys, so he was rinsing off the salt in order to eat the fish. Nofal Bahu Recha, as he was rinsing them off, they became they seemed to absorb some type of very pleasant fragrance. Omar, upon perceiving this fragrance, Alexander said, Shma mino hai aino, this spring migan Eden osi, this spring is flowing forth from the Garden of Eden. Iko di Amri, some versions tell us, Shokal mehano maya Torah biape. He took a little bit of the water and he washed his face off with it. Iko diamri, another version is, Idli kule ad demoto lepischo de Gan Eden. That he went and followed this spring until he followed along the banks of this spring until he reached the entrance to Gan Eden. Rama Kola, he then, upon reaching that entrance to Gan Eden, he let out a call, a cry, and said, "Piskali Bava, open up the gates." Omru Lei, a voice came from within, responding, "Ze Hashar Lashem, Tzadikim Yavo Bo." This is the gate leading to the Almighty. Only the righteous have a right to enter. Omar Lahon, well, Alexander said back, "Ano nami malka ano mechshiv chashivla." Well, I'm also a king, I'm also a very important individual. Havuli midi, give me something. Yohuvu le chad gulgalta da'ino. So they gave him an eyeball. The Rosh points out, Galgal Eino Shel Adam, the eye of a person. Takle Lekule Dava Vekaspa Dide Bahade Lo Havim Iskele. The weight of this eye was so great that it was weightier than all the gold and silver that he had with him. Omar Lahon the Rabbonon, my high, he asked the Rabbonon, "What is this? It appears to be a human eyeball, and yet it has such great weight to it." Amri, they answered, "Gulgalta the aim of the Bishop of Domahu. What you have is the eye of a human being, of Bosav Adam, of blood and flesh, the eye of a person. The Lo Kosava, a person's eye is never satisfied." So the great weight represented by this eye is its desire to have more and more and more, always an increase. And it's the analogy is quite obvious here that he's being taught a lesson about humanity, that a person is never appears to be satisfied. This would tie in very nicely to that which we had learned earlier in this section about Ezu Oshir Hasomeach Bechelko. He who is a wealthy man, a person who is satisfied with what he has. But people who don't work on that characteristic always are seeking out more and more, and hence the great weight that's being associated with the eyeball. Omar Lahu, so Alexander asks, Mimai Dehochihu, how do you know that this is the truth? So they answered, Shakli Klili Afra Vakasi, take a little bit of dirt and cover it. And the covering of the eye would be an expression of now the eye cannot perceive, can't see anymore, and it can't lust other things. La'alter takla, and at that point it became its normal weight. It wasn't as heavy as it was before. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Sheol va'avado lo tisboena." The pasuk continues to say, "In this is a pasuk from Mishlei Chav Zayin, pasuk Chav, v'enei ha'adam lo tisbana." And the rough translation of this pasuk is that the Sheol va'avado lo tisbana, the grave is never satisfied. In other words, there's always death that takes place. It doesn't end. So too, the eye of a person is never satisfied. Always more and more and more. So this pasuk reflects the idea that we had just learned. Tana Debe Elio, a Tanaic source that's known as the Tana Debe Elio, states Gehenim Lamalo Min Rakia, purgatory is above the heavens. V'yeshamim Lachore Hare Choshech, that it's found beyond the mountains of darkness. Hare Choshech is that which was referred to earlier when Alexander said he wanted to go to Africa and they told him, you won't be able to get there because of the Hare Choshech. Tana Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya teaches the following source, and we should note that what we are about to learn now is in effect the end of the Gemara content of Maseches Tomid. The source says, "Kol oisek b'tora b'layla, he who learns Torah during the nighttime hours, shchina kenegdo, the divine presence is with him. Shenema kumi romi balailo the rosh hashmurosh suklimayim libech nochach pnei Hashem. So here the pasuk features this idea of literally singing praises of Hashem. In truth, the learning of Torah is the singing of the praises of Hashem. And it says nochach pnei Hashem, in the presence of Hashem, and the pasuk mentioned balailo, at nighttime. Omer l'Avozor ben Azariah, tamidei chachomim marvim shalom va'olam. Torah sages serve to increase peace in the world. Shenemar v'chol bonayach limudei Hashem v'rav shalom bonayach. And there is a girsa that adds to this, that which might be familiar to many of you, because we read this in the daily davening. You find in the Shita Mekubetzes, al tikri bonayach elo bonayach. Don't read the pasuk as your sons, but those your builders, a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, those who maintain the structure of the Jewish people. Shalom Rav Lo'ave Sorasecha. And that's, as we said, you see this in the Shita Mekubetzes, that great peace is found amongst those that are lovers of the Torah. So that as this source says, that those who that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah tells us, that with the presence of Talmidei Chachamim, the more and more Talmidei Chachamim, the more peace there will be. They increase peace in the world by through their study of Torah. As we mentioned, that in effect is the end of the Gemara content, the Talmudic content of Maseches Tamid. We continue now with the fifth perek of Maseches Tamid, which is purely Mishnayos. This, and you'll see also the next prokim of Maseches Tamid till the very end. There is no Gemara content. So we continue now with the fifth parak. Omar Lahem Hamemuna, the appointed one. We've seen him before. He is he who is overseeing the offering of the early morning activities in the Beis Hamikdash that we have learned till now, and the offering of the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now that they have, at this point, we have learned that they slaughtered and dismembered the Tamid Shel Shachar, placed the different limbs and sections on the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, and the last point that was mentioned in the Mishnayos of the fourth Perek had been they then descended from the ramp, and all of the Kohanim that were featured went to the Lishkas HaGozis, and they read the morning Shema. The Mishnah, Omar Lohem HaMemuna, the appointed one said, Birchu Brocha Achas, recite a Brocha Vehem Borchu, and they said the Brocha. It's pointed out in the Gemara in Brochas points out that the Brocha referred to here is the Brocha of Ava Rabba, that we recite before we say Kriyashma. They did not, however, say the Brocha that precedes that in our, that we say in the morning davening, the bracha known as Yotzer Or, because Yotzer features the idea of the creation of light, but it was too early in the morning yet to recite that bracha. So it's pointed out that the issue of order of brachas is not something that's binding, and hence they were able to say Ava Rabba even though they had not said Yotzer Or as of yet. So that's the bracha achas, and they said that after his command. Vikoru Aseres Hadibros, they also read the Ten Commandments, which interestingly is something that we do not incorporate in our daily davening, and that issue is something discussed in the Gemara in Maseches Brochas itself, but they did recite the Ten Commandments. What else? Shema, Vehoyim Shemoa, Vayomer, the three paragraphs that make up the Kriya Shema. Borchu Sholosh Brachos, they said three brachos, which were Emes V'Yatziv, that's the, we'll call it the paragraph, the bracha that follows the Kriya Shema, that ends off with the bracha of Goal Yisrael. The Avoda is a reference to the bracha of Ritzei, that we say as part of our Shemona Esrei, they recited it as a separate bracha. Birkas Kehanim, the commentaries discuss this Birkas Kohanim and point out that it's not necessarily the blessing the Kohanim bestow upon the congregation that we call Duchening or Nesias Gapayim, but it's a reference to the bracha of Sim Shalom. Other commentaries say that the Birkas Kehanim was a reference to the recitation of the psukim of Yevorechecha Hashem Vishmrecha that are characteristic or that comprise the blessing of the Kehanim, but it was without the formal raising of the arms, which was done whereby the Kehanim blessed the people later on. So we have a two pshatim for what this Birkas Kehanim is a reference to. And we continue in the Mishnah. Ubeshabbos moisifin brocha achas lemishmar yotzei. The Kehanim on Shabbos would add a brocha, a blessing to the service group of Kohanim that were departing at that point. Every Shabbos there was a, we'll call it changing of the guard as an expression, where different each service group that served that particular week would finish their work, finish their service on Shabbos, and a new group would start. So this this is a reference to an additional blessing that the new service group bestowed upon that group which was departing. Mishnah Beis, Omar Lohem, the appointed one, the Memuna, said, after this took place, Chadoshim Lakturas, Bovafisu. Those who were Chadoshim, new, meaning people, Kehanim, who never did the Ktores. The Ktores is the incense that was burnt on the inner Mizbeach, on the golden Mizbeach. So all of those who have never done it should come together for the pious. Pious was a method of choosing who would be chosen to do the Ktores. Zocha Misha Zocha, whoever won to be the choice became the one to do it. Omar Lahem, the Memuna, the appointed one, then said, Chadoshim Im Yishanu Bo Vafisu. Now we're not dealing with the Ktores anymore, so those who are first timers and those who have done before, who have participated before, come together now for another pious. And what would this pious decide? What would this choice, this new choosing, decide? Mi male vorim in akevesh lamizbech. Who would be those that would continue the carrying of the tomid limbs, the tomid shel shachar limbs from the midway point of the kevesh up till the top of the mizbeach? Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov Omer, he disagrees and says hamale vorim lekevesh humale oisin agav mizbeach. He says it's not a new group that would carry it from below the lower half till the top, but rather those that brought it to the ramp in the first place will continue at this point carrying the limbs to the top. Mosrum lachazonim, they were then given, chazonim are, we'll say, other officials, and here the Mishnah, this is Mishnah Gimel, is making a reference to those kehanim that did not win a position in the pious. They were not, in other words, those that were not chosen. After all, the pious was a method of choosing from a large group of people those that would continue the service. Well, now we're turning to those that were not chosen. They were given over to the chazonim. Hoyu machshitin osam esbigdehem. They would now remove undress. They would remove their big day kahuna, their special kayanim clothing. We are understanding here that they came to the pious, to the choosing, dressed with their big day kahuna, so that if they were chosen, they would immediately go to the service. But now that we know, we now see those who have not been chosen for any service, so they're now in a position to remove their Kohen clothing. So they were entrusted, they were given over, all those Kohanim that were not chosen were now given over to the one in charge of the Big Day Kohuna. Hoyu mafshitin osam esbigdehem, the Mishnah says they would remove their clothing. V'lohoyu manichim aleihem ela michnasayim bilvad. And they left upon them only the michnasayim garment. That's what the equivalent of we'll call it a pants article of clothing. That was left on them. The chalonas hoyusham. There were chalonas, literally are windows, but they are compartments. These are compartments that were in the Beis Hamikdash, and the Big Day Kahuna were stored over there. The kosuv aleihem tashmishe hakelim, and on each compartment there was an inscription as to what it contained, so that on the compartment that was designed for holding the Michnosayim, so Michnosayim was written. For the compartments holding the Avnet, Avnet was written, etc. There were, in addition to the Michnosayim, there was a Ksonis, there was a Mitznefes. The Ksonis was an upper garment, the Mitznefes was a headgear, and Avnetim was this type of belt that wrapped around them. Mishnah Dalet. Mi shezocha bakteres, the one who merited, who won the right to do the ktores, hoya noitel es hakaf, he took a vessel called a kaf, and the kaf would be that vessel that held the actual incense. Vakaf doime letarkav godol shezohav, machzik shloishes kavim, the kaf was like a golden tarkav. A tarkav is something that holds, that could hold three kav. And we've seen this before. Kav is a dry measure. So we're dealing with a kav, a golden type of bowl that could hold three kavim. That's, the Mishnah says, Doimel the tarkav gonel shazov, machzik shloishes kavim. V'habozoch, we have to, unfortunately, we have to correct a mistake we just made. We mentioned the kaf contained the ketores. No, it didn't. The bozoch contained. It says, the Mishnah says, va bozoch hoya besocho. The bozoch was a smaller vessel that was put inside the kaf. Now, the bozoch itself held the ketores. Mole v'godush, and at this point, we are continuing on to the top of Daf Lamed Gimel. The Mishnah says that the bozoch that was inside, that was put into the kaf, was molei v'godush ktoras, was full of incense. The kisui hoyolo, it had a cover, ukemin mituteles hoyolov mi lamalan. There are different pshatim as to what mituteles is, and actually there are different meforshim as to what had the cover, but either the bozoch or the kaf had a cover, and the mituteles is a reference to possibly a ring was on this cover that you could open up and close it by holding the ring. There's another comment or another explanation of the mituteles is there was a piece after they put the cover on it, it was then covered with a piece of fabric, of nice looking fabric. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.